The quality cigarette every smoker can afford is the cigarette of long-burning, costlier tobaccos. Yes, that's Camel. And there are millions of Camel smokers to tell you that no other cigarette gives the same marvelous combination of smoking pleasure at its best and more smoking per cigarette. That extra amount of smoking in Camels is confirmed by recent impartial laboratory tests of 16 of the largest selling brands. By burning 25% slower than the average of the 15 other of the largest selling brands tested, slower than any of them, Camels give a smoking plus equal to 5 extra smokes per pack. And it's mighty nice to get extra smoking when it's topped off with the superb aroma and delicate taste of Camel's costlier tobaccos. Not to mention how much cooler and milder a Camel smokes. Any way you figure it, Camels are your shrewdest cigarette buy. And now let's have our visit with Blondie and Dagwood. We find them this afternoon in the shopping district. Blondie has been to a lecture this afternoon, and Dag took her to lunch at the Hideaway Tea Room. They're just leaving the place now, and here they come.
My, it's nice to eat out for a change. I have such an appetite. Oh, let's walk along the street before we start home.
Yeah, I had an appetite, too. I still have.
Oh, I thought it was a lovely luncheon.
Yeah. Every course was salad. Those tea rooms put lettuce in everything.
Now, Dagwood, if you had your way, you'd eat nothing but meat and potatoes.
Yeah.
You have to have greens, too.
I felt like a tame rabbit, sitting there nibbling lettuce with all those women looking at me.
That was because you were so handsome, dear.
Well, I like women all right, but too many of them makes me nervous.
Why, at the lecture today, the audience was all women, and Mr. Frothingham Fairforth didn't mind a bit.
No.
He just half closed his eyes and talked right on about the exciting things he had done.
Yeah? What had he done?
Oh, he had escaped from cannibals and shot lions and lived on pemmican for days and days.
Oh, so that's why you asked for pemmican in that tea room.
Well, I just wanted to taste it.
I guess it would taste pretty fishy. They live on fish, don't they?
Who lives on fish?
Pemmican. You know, remember? Oh, what a bird is a pemmican. His beak can hold
dear. Pemmican is dried meat, mixed with raisins and things to make it more nourishing. You take it on safari.
Oh, take it where?
On safari. That's an African word, too. It means when you go on a long trek in the jungle or somewhere and can't carry much food.
Yeah, pretty nourishing stuff, huh? Well, remind me to get some next time we go to the delicatessen.
Oh, I don't think they'd have it. It's just for he-men like Mr. Frothingham Fairforth.
Oh.
I guess there wouldn't be much call for it in our neighborhood.
Listen, Blondie, don't run down our neighborhood. I bet that guy Frothingham just made up all those stories about eating pemmican and shooting lions and cannibals.
Oh, no, Dagwood. He had such lovely, honest eyes, and he was all sunburned.
Mm-hmm.
Dagwood, don't you want to hear about the exciting things the man did?
Go ahead if you want to, but let's walk along the street.
All right. We'll window shop as we go. Oh, look at those cute hats.
Oh, come on, dear. You've got a hat now.
Happy Times Hat Shoppy. I must remember that. Oh, Frothingham Fairforth says the African women don't wear any hats.
Yeah, I know. They don't wear stockings either. You don't have to go to Africa to find that out.
Why, Dagwood, I think you're a little jealous of Mr. Frothingham Fairforth.
I am not. But when a fellow's wife comes home all excited about some phony like that,
why,
I think
Dagwood
it's a...
Bumstead, he's not a phony.
Yeah.
He's missed death by inches a dozen times.
Too bad.
Wait till I tell you about the time he saved all their lives. Listen, he was going along with his natives, and all of a sudden they came to a danga.
A what?
That's where lions hide, in a danga.
Oh.
So he stopped in front of this danga, and you know what he said?
Sure, he said, "Danga any farther, boys."
That's not a bit funny. No, he said, "Wait, boys, I smell something like a lion."
Yeah. Did he admit that in front of all those people?
Don't be vulgar, Dagwood.
No.
He just knew there was a lion in that danga. So he raised his rifle and fired just once, and then walked right into that lion's den. And what do you think?
I think he was crazy.
Oh, I mean, what do you think he found? A dead lion.
Mm-hmm. How long had it been dead?
What? Oh, why, he had just shot it.
Oh,
he said it was the biggest lion ever shot in Africa.
Yeah, some lion. You get it? Some lion.
Oh, you're as bad as Mr. Fuddle, laughing at your own jokes. Oh, look.
What?
Look, in this window, a picture of Frothingham Fairforth, autographed.
He needs a haircut.
See, there's a copy of his book, The Joy of Danger. Oh, I wonder if all those guns in the window are his, too.
No, they belong to Boomer Grundy and Gretch, the people who run this store.
My, I never saw so many guns.
Sure, this store is the biggest sporting goods anywhere, I guess. Everything from a cap pistol to a cannon, that's their slogan.
How did you know that, Dagwood?
Oh, I used to trade here.
You did?
Uh-huh.
Why, what did you buy in here, Dagwood?
A BB shot for my Daisy gun.
Why, I never knew you even handled a gun, Dagwood.
Well, just because I don't go around writing books about it or selling tickets to hear me talk about myself.
Did you ever shoot anything?
Oh, sure. No lines, of course. Just a smaller game.
What kind of game?
Huh? Oh, nothing much. Forget it. Oh, look, there's something Baby Dumpling would like.
That huge thing? Why, he couldn't carry it.
Oh, no, not the shotgun. I mean the water pistol right underneath it.
Well, I don't know. He might go squirting it in the house.
Well, a boy ought to learn to handle a gun early. You don't want him to be a sissy.
How old were you when you did your hunting, Dagwood?
Oh, about 7, I guess.
My goodness, that was young.
Mm.
Oh, look, see that white hat in the window? That's a cork helmet like Frothingham Fairforth wore on safari.
Yeah.
Oh, it's romantic looking, isn't it?
It's hard to keep clean, though, like white shoes.
What did you use to wear hunting, Dagwood?
Overalls. It was dirty in the barn.
Did you do your hunting in a barn?
Yeah, mostly. That's where the game was the thickest.
Now, what kind of game could anyone shoot in a barn?
Well, I shot roaches.
Oh, Dagwood.
All right. But it's harder to hit a running roach than a sleeping lion. Don't forget that.
I guess it would be.
Yes, sir. A good lively roach is a tough target, especially with just an air rifle.
Oh, that's what you hunted with. Mm.
Well, of course, I take a bigger gun now.
There's one in the window. Would be a nice size for you.
Hmm? That's a .22.
What's .22 mean, Dagwood?
Huh? It's 22 inches long. Would you mind if I went in this door and looked around, Blondie?
Why, no, dear. I'll come with you.
Well, never mind, then.
Why, Dagwood, you wouldn't be ashamed to have me with you, would you?
Well, no, it's not like we're buying my suits, Blondie. I don't think men take their wives along when they buy things in a man's store like Boomer Grundy and Gretch here.
Oh. Well, I'll walk back to that little Happy Time hat shoppy. You go ahead and have fun looking around in the store. But don't buy anything, mind?
No, I'll just price that water pistol. Just price it.
All right, Daniel Boone. Be careful in that revolving door. Don't be long, dear. Bye.
Sure. I won't. Bye. Pardon me. Could you tell me where the water pistol department is?
No.
Oh. Well, could you tell me who could tell me?
No, go away.
Now, listen. I don't think a clerk ought to talk that way to a customer, even if I am only pricing water pistols.
Is it possible, my misguided young sir, that you've mistaken me for a clerk?
Well, thanks. I'll just wait till a clerk shows up.
Well, my poor young friend, you know where you are. This is Boomer Grundy and Gretch, where the clerks are trained to hide from customers. You couldn't walk up to a Boomer Grundy and Gretch clerk and speak to him just as you spoke to me. It isn't done.
Well, thanks, but I'll just wait then until one shows up.
But it isn't as easy as all that. No, no, mercy, no.
Well, I'll get the hang of it after a while. What do you do if you want to buy something here?
You pretend to be interested in something else. Oh. That way the clerk who sells you what you do want may glide by. I've known it to happen.
Is that why you're looking at this case of birds' eggs? They are birds' eggs, aren't they?
The most amazing collection of rare wild bird eggs under one roof in the world. Are you an ornithologist, my young friend?
We stick to our old family doctrine.
Mm. You don't like eggs?
I've got nothing against them, I guess.
Shun them, young sir. Turn away your gaze. Refuse to fondle them. Once you become an egg, you're lost.
You look all right. Do eggs bother you much?
They're my life. As a boy, someone gave me a robin's egg. It was the beginning of the end. I got a second egg, then a third, and so on. Soon I thought of nothing else. I wanted only eggs and more than
eggs. Mm. Can't you buy them if you want them?
I have a book. I have the second finest collection in the world. If I had one more egg, it would be the finest.
Golly, can't you afford to buy one more egg?
Afford it? Certainly I can afford it. I am...
I didn't say anything.
Anyone here? Then I'll whisper my name to you. I feel I can trust you.
Well, thanks, but I...
Yes, yes, you have an honest face. It reminds me of the whistling fish. Splendid bird. Come closer. I, sir, am Michael Dane Q. Gorb.
Guys, the multimillionaire?
Shh. Yes, yes. But what are millions when I can't buy the world's one perfect egg?
But why can't you buy it with all your money?
Because the vipers who operate this store won't sell it. Boomer Grundy and Gretch are egg collectors, too. If they sold me this, then I would have the best collection. Look, look, here comes a clerk. Now, keep my secret. Let me have a few moments' peace gazing at this perfect specimen in the case. Pretend you want to see it, then lure the man away.
Well, gosh, I'd like to help you, but...
Here he comes.
Good afternoon.
There he goes. Stop him.
Pardon me.
Yes, quite all right. Something you require, sir.
I'd like to look at some eggs, if you don't mind.
Oh, I'm so sorry, but eggs, no, not my line, you see. I'm in the firearms department.
Oh, you sell things for, hunters and explorers and people like that.
I display our line, sir. The most complete in the world. Occasionally a sailor's maid, yes.
I'm in the market.
Pemmican. Mm-hmm. We don't stock it regularly, but I could take your order. Mm. You want enough for your next expedition?
Yeah, I just wanted a sample to begin with.
Of course. Men like yourself, whose lives depend on the quality of the pemmican they carry, can't be too careful. Step this way, sir.
Don't let me down now. Make him show you the egg.
Which one?
The only one worth looking at. That one.
Oh, gosh, you mean the big one mounted on the white satin like a diamond or something?
A diamond can't compare with that egg. Don't you know what that is?
It's a pretty color.
That, sir, is the egg of the pink-nosed plover. The only one of its kind outside the British Museum. And theirs is much smaller. That is a Koh-i-Noor of eggs.
Oh.
I must touch it. Just once. Make him take it out.
Ah, here you are. I thought you were coming with me.
Well, the fact is, I just got interested in that egg. The one on the white pillow.
Yes. An interesting item, they tell me. Let's see. Valued at $12,500. But it's not for sale.
Oh, I wasn't going to buy it. But my friend here, Mr.
Brown. Fred Brown.
Yes. Yes. Mr. Brown would like to see it.
I really shouldn't take it out of the case, but for a big pemmican buyer like yourself, Mr.
Brown. Bumstead, I mean. Dagwood Bumstead.
Oh, you celebrities. Always going under assumed names to avoid publicity. But you can't fool me. Mr. Brown, yes, an honest name, but Bumstead. Obviously invented and hastily invented.
Hey, now listen.
Oh, it's all right. I'll keep your secret, Mr. Bumstead.
Are you going to let me see that egg?
Oh, certainly, Mr. Brown. Here it is. Now be careful, won't you? The pink-nosed plover is extinct, you know, and the egg very rare. Please don't lift it from its resting place. And now, Mr. Bumstead, this way, please.
Well, if you haven't any pemmican,
our pemmican department's at work on the matter.
Oh.
But I have something new I want you to see. A sportsman like yourself will be fascinated by it. Oh, I can't wait to show you.
Well, let me guess what it is, huh? Is it a water pistol?
Oh, dear me, no. Imagine a man like you buying a water pistol. Quite impossible.
Well, maybe I'm not as much of a hunter as you think.
A man who asks for pemmican. Oh, my dear sir, I wasn't born yesterday. Don't be insulted. But you ever shoot a small game?
I used to years ago as a boy.
Oh, of course. Anything smaller than a grizzly would be child's play to you now.
Uh-huh.
But we do have a grizzly rifle that I wanted you to see. A cute little thing. Mr. Frothingham Fairforth bought one of these today.
That phony. What did he ever shoot?
Oh, come now. He may not be in your class, of course, but he sometimes brings in a fair bag. Mm-hmm. That moose head on the wall is one of his specimens. He dropped that moose at the age of 10.
Hmm. I've seen bigger meese than that.
Oh, really? Why, yeah. I've always been told that moose has the largest antlers ever brought back to civilization.
Brought back? Yeah. But when I was 10, I didn't even bother to bring back my game. Just left them where they fell.
Oh, dear me.
Hmm? Haven't you anything bigger than a grizzly gun?
Sir, Boomer Grundy and Gretch have everything. Now, here's a number you might like. For rhinoceri, a 60-60, double-barreled and hair-triggered. Seconds count when a rhinoceros charges.
Oh, my gosh, it's heavy, isn't it?
I was afraid you'd say that. But we found that we can't risk a lighter gun when the ammunition is so powerful. Why, look at this cartridge.
Gosh, that's a dandy, all right.
With that cartridge in the gun and the gun in your hand, you can face anything that walks. You're ready for a life-or-death combat with nature in the raw.
Well, I like my nature just medium rare.
I can see that this is the gun for you. Now, slip the cartridge into the loading chamber. There. See? Simple, eh? Yes. Never jams and never fails. The chamber takes 8 cartridges. I shall put in another.
Oh, boy. What this would do to that moose.
I knew you'd like the feel of that gun. Just try its balance.
Pretty smooth, all right.
Here, let me adjust the sights. There.
Thank you.
Now, imagine that that moose were alive and chopping.
Uh-huh.
You raise the gun.
Yeah,
yeah. Quirly, you take aim.
I got a bead on him now. Goodbye, moose. Just a little push on this trigger and...
Oh, the moose. It's gone. The plate glass window blown to bits. And you, Bumstead, where are you?
Down here where the eggs used to be.
Eggs? Good heavens, man, get out of those eggs.
That gun knocked me over.
Where's the plover's egg? The pink-nosed plover's egg? You're sitting on its white satin pillow.
I'm afraid I'm sitting on the egg, too. I can feel it.
A $500 window, an $800 moose, a priceless egg, all ruined by your reckless shooting. You'll have to pay, Mr. Bumstead. You'll pay for this naughty prank.
Whatever price you pay for your cigarettes, it's important to remember this fact. Impartial laboratory tests show that by burning 25% slower than the 15 other of the largest selling brands tested, slower than the average of any of them, Camels give a smoking plus equal to 5 extra smokes per pack. Smokers who live in communities where certain state cigarette taxes are in effect can save the cost of the tax, and in some instances more, through smoking Camels. If you live in a community where there are no added taxes on cigarettes, the savings are all yours. Plus the extra pleasure you get in every puff of Camel's finer, more expensive tobaccos. Penny for penny, Camels are your shrewdest cigarette buy. The quality cigarette every smoker can afford. Now let's hurry back to the establishment of Boomer Grundy and Gretch, where we left Dagwood surrounded by the wreckage of his unlucky experiment with high explosives. Outside the shattered window, a gathering crowd is held back by police. Inside, Dagwood rises from the ruins of the rare bird eggs to face Mr. Gretch. In fact, Mr. Gretch himself has arrived and has the situation well in hand.
Stop. Now then. Get up, young man. Get up, I say.
It was like this. I was just sort of holding the gun, and it went off.
I'm aware of that. The whole town is aware of it. For the first time in its history, the premises of Boomer Grundy and Gretch have been made the scene of disgraceful notoriety. That'll have to go on the bill, along with the window, the moose head, and the priceless egg of the pink-nosed plover.
Well, but that man shouldn't have handed me the gun. Where'd he go?
The unfortunate Mr. Bunworthy has retired with shattered nerves. I am here. I am Phineas Gretch.
I'm very pleased to meet you.
I'm sorry to say that I can't say that much for you.
Oh.
I'm not at all pleased. The only thing about you that can give me the slightest pleasure would be a glimpse of your check.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. But my wife carries a checkbook.
And send for your wife.
She's probably out in that crowd.